As usual, it's special to be here with the Olney community and my cousin, Dr. Levine. It's to make a simcha that brings together Yontiv and the community and everyone together. It really brings out some of the finest aspects of Klal Yisrael, of a tzibur, of a kehillah, and Mitzvah Hashem should be able to do it for many years to come with a lot of simcha. Traditionally the simcha shavuot has been on the yard side of the goyin. It's a day earlier, but it still feel that there's no avla saying over goyin zavart, even if it's a day earlier. Tried a little bit to get a sense of the yontiv of Sukkis and its unique facet amongst the other yontovim. Let's first ask ourselves a question about what it marks in relation to other Yontovim. We have seminal events in the history of Klal Yisrael marked in the cycle of Yontovim. The first one is Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach, and that's clear that that's the extraordinary event. And remembering that event is going to be very, very important in keeping our emunah and in connecting ourselves to what makes Klal Yisrael Klal Yisrael. That's obvious. We have another event, Matan Torah. That's a second event. And that certainly marks us in terms of what our mission is and who we are and what we are. And it was the greatest event in human history of the contact between the mortal and the divine. And therefore, it's definitely very, very important to mark it. Sukkis is Kibbutz Shavtis Mei Yisrael. Either it's because we made our own sukkis to live in, or there was Anani Kavod. So, if we made our own sukkis to live in, is kind of really, really weak reason to commemorate it. I mean, we could commemorate every day something. Even if it's an Anani HaKavod, it certainly doesn't even begin to rank along the magnificence of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. And yet, this is a Yontif, and a very, very, very significant Yontif, and it's one of the three Yontovim. So what is it about an Anani HaKavod? And what is it that marks that difference? So we would really need to try and understand the content of it. You could say that the living in a midbar for 40 years with everything that came with it, food, drink, shelter, everything else that was needed for such a huge population, so it's a lot of nisim together, but it still doesn't compare really to the other two events. So we're going to try to get a sense of A, what Sukkis really is coming to express, how it ranks, something of significance that will rank it alongside Pesach Shavuos, and one would also like to understand it as a certain a cycle, as a certain progression of sorts. Obviously, things happen in chronological order. There's a progression, and we'd be going from Yetzias Mitzrayim to Shavuos to Sukkis, and we want to understand it as being a step-by-step progression towards some destination, and we'd need to try to understand the destination and how we get there. We take a look in the Gimel Regalim in Parshas Re'eh. At the end of Parshas Re'eh, we have Ki Mochlecha Chicha Ivri Ivri, and so on. Then it says, further down, in Shomer Eschodesh Aviv, Vasisa Pesach Hashem Alekecha, and it says, you shall make Pesach, and it says, Leman Tizkor Es Yom Tzeischem Ratzachan Kol Mechayecha, so that you remember the day you left Mitzrayim. You it was a remarkable event. It's an event that became the foundation of Klal Yisrael, and we need to remember that, and that's one. The next one is Shavuos, and it says about Shavuos, Shiva Shavuos, Sispilchom, Mehochel Chermesh Bakoma, Tochlisba Shiva Shavuos, Vasisa Chag Shavuos, and it says, Vizachar Tokevadis Mitzrayim. And you should remember that you were in Eved Mitzrayim. So again, we have Zechira associated with it. These were extraordinary events that happened. We need to keep remembering it. Finally, we have Chag HaSukkos Ta'aseh Chashivas Yomim, and nothing there mentioned about remembering, just kind of what you should do and so on. We do have one place in Emor where it speaks about Sukkos being commemorative, but it has a very, very different description of it. It goes on and speaks about Sukkos, but Sukkos Teisha Shivas Yomim, Leman Yedu Doraseichem, Ki Vasukkos Hashavtes Nesor Vatsiyaz Mitzrayim, so that the generations know that I put you into Sukkos. So we have another term, not remember, but to know. So Leman Yedu Doraseichem. Now, that's something which is a different description. The words Zacharti Tzitzvah Zochasim in the beginning in Parshas Bo, when it speaks about commemorating, it's the end of Parshas Bo, when it speaks about commemorating all the events in Mitzrayim, it's introduced with the word Zachar. The way it says in the Pasuk is, this is the parasha that introduces Bechor and Tefillin and other things. It says, Zohar Asiyam Zeshav Sayyim, remember this very day. So remember would be the term, the default term to use. Remember, Zechatzias Mitzrayim, Zohar Al Tishkach. That's a term that really makes sense. We had an event, we knew the event, let's not forget it. Leman Yedu, it doesn't seem to be appropriate way to say it. They knew it. They needed to remember it. Leman Yedu would make sense, well, I'm going to be informing you. It's also interesting, and this may be part of the answer, that the Zohar is always for you, Zohar. Leman Yedu Doroseichem. By Sukkos, we specifically want it for generations. So maybe that is related to it. Al derech hapshat, they weren't there, so for them it's a knowledge, not remembrance. But that itself begs the question: why is it that so important that Sukkah be for the generations? Why is it different than the other ones, where it's zocher, and it's b'meila. You, if every single person who keeps the Seder and brings a Korban Pesach carries individually that memory. Why does one person need to do it for generations? So I'm going to read a Gaon. Like we said before, we usually tend to try to say something from the Gaon's Torah. And I'm going to try to understand what the Gaon means. The Gaon is a Gaon in Chavakuk, third Perek. And the Goyen is an extremely concise sefer. The word concise is almost an understatement for what the Goyen's works are like. And the Goyen tends to, his usual derech is, he will quote something, he will bring sort of a remez. He'll say, this is connect this, this is connect this, and that. To leave it at the remez stage is really doing injustice. Saying that this is connected, this is connected, this is connected, this is not what the Goyen intended. The Goyen was just marking it so that, because he didn't have the his mind worked so quickly and brevity is important, that he didn't he would just kind of mark off the point. And it's up to us to try and to understand a little bit what he says. It's built on a pasuk in Chavakuk. The pasuk says like this. It's Chavakuk Gimel, pasuk Beis. Hashem, Shemati Shemacha, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I heard the news, or I heard your voice. Yoresi, and I became frightened. The pasuk is Pasha's talking about the Golos, the impending Golos. Hashem polcho b'kerev shanim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem polcho b'kerev shanim chayehu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you need to keep your accomplishments alive in many years. Bekerev Shanim Toidia, make it known across many years. Barogos Racham Tiskar. That's the Pasuk. And the Pashup Shad Pasuk is talking about Klai Son Golos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rachmanis on them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forget them, and so on. The Goyen teaches the Pasuk as follows. Hashem Shemati is Yitzias Mitzrayim. Shemacha is Matan Torah. Now, Vehei Neged Pesach Shavuos. And that is Keneged Pesach Shavuos. And then he says, Bekerev Shan Tadiyah Hu Keneged Sukkis. Let's understand the first two, and then we'll try to understand Sukkis a little better. When a person first is awakened religiously, when a person, the moment that a person becomes awakened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he hears something. It's as if somebody hears a voice before he hears the sounds. He hears something, and that's Shemati Shemacha. That is, Shemati is Yetzias Mitzrayim. We heard the sound of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We couldn't make out the words. We didn't know exactly what he wants, but we heard the world thundered. The world shook. And that's one. Shemacha means I heard what you had to say. Hashem Shemate, I heard Shemacha, what you have to say, which is Matan Torah. We needed HaKadosh Baruch Hu should tell us what he wants. Just believing in Hashem and feeling good about Hashem and saying Hashem is great and wonderful and miraculous is not what he wants. That's the beginning to listen to what he wants us to do. And Matan Torah is the clearest exposition of what he wanted. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke. Okay, so that's good. So we have the seminal event that sort of shook us up and brought us to Torah. And then we have Torah, because we're saying, and what next? Bekerev Shana Tadia, you should let us know for many years, or you should keep it alive for many years or forever. Hu Neged Sukkis, that's going to get Sukkis, She'oz Nivne HaMishkin. Because that's when the Mishkin is built. So the Goyen here, it's a point that the Goyen makes in many places, in Shir Hashirim most notably, that the binyan of the base of the Mishkin was that marked Sukkis. Moshe Rabbeinu went off the mountain in Yom Kippur, brought back Lokos Shniyos, and then there was a tzivui of Binyan Mishkan, and it started, that tzivui came on Sukkis. That's when Binyan Mishkan started. So even though it wasn't finished till later, till Nissan, but that's when they started building the Mishkan. So the sukkah, which is sort of a hut, an enclosure, is connected the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash is called Sukkos David. Shlomo HaMelech dedicated Beis Hamikdash on Sukkos. So Sukkos is Binyan Beis Hamikdash. That's fine. But why would that be equivalent to Bekerev Shana, to keep it alive for many years? What does that have to do with many years? I mean, the first two, Shemati Shemacha, we got the point. We exactly understood what they are and their progression. But this is Bekerev Shana, it should be for many years built to his Mishkan. His Mishkan was Charev. Now, if we take a look at another point, it says Bekerev Shana Todia. Once again, the word Das is the word that's used to explain the Bekerev Shana. So Bekerev Shan Todia is that which will make it permanent. It will eternalize it. What exactly is it about the Das and that's like that? One can so again, let's sum up the Goyen. The Goyen says these three points in the Navi are connected Pesach, Shavuos and Sukkos, and Shemati, Shemacha, and then Bekerev Shana Todia. So let's start to explain it. Let's explain the point and the difference in Zechir and Yediyah, which is really going to be a very important piece of the puzzle. The when a person, let's take a mashal, and we'll try to compare Zechira and Yediyah. Somebody is sitting in medical school, busily trying to remember pages and pages of anatomical names, medications, diseases, etc. And the person sits and drills it into himself as if there's, you know, flawlessly. And he aces his tests. So that's called remembering. And it's a process that takes a lot of effort. It's a strain. Unless you're blessed with some extraordinary memory that doesn't forget, it's a strain. Now, take a doctor, maybe even a mediocre doctor, who's been practicing for many years. And day in, day out, this kind of disease gets prescribed, this and so on and so forth. He doesn't strain himself to remember it. And it's not only because it's repeated many times, it's not only because it's the equivalent of repetition. It's something much deeper. It's something that I would like to use. There's a sefer called Nachlas David, a very famous Dor Kalina, he has drushes, and he says the difference between Yediyah and other things is Yediyah is knowledge of things to the level of physical experience, of sensual contact. Zechira, remembrance, is by definition almost an external item that I am lashing on to myself. I am taking something that is not part of my life. I'm taking 25 pages of names of body parts, of medications, and I am sort of tying it down to my mind. So it requires a lot of rope and a lot of knotting and a lot of twisting and turning to have it sit. And it starts loosening. As soon as the test is over, anyone here who's taking tests in school knows, as soon as the test is over, and my feeling is, good riddance, I never need to go back again to this, you start forgetting it instantly. Because it was perceived as an alien entity, and I needed, and I need to hold it down. So Zechira is a process of tefillin is Zechira, I am tying it down. But when I live something, the doctor who's practicing, he might not be a big goyin, and he might not have a fantastic memory. He lives it. He lives the guy with the sniffles, and the guy who coughing, and the guy giving him this, and the guy giving him this. And this has all become it's not alien cargo that I am tying down to myself, but rather it is something that has become part and parcel of my very self, my fabric of self. Those things you don't lose. It takes an extraordinary degree of memory loss to lose common activities. Anyone who loses that, who forgets how to brush his teeth, is gone. That's something which is part and parcel of myself. There are two processes for that. There are two processes for both of these. And we're going to use that, we're going to use a parallel to it, which is very apropos. When a person gets married, there are two stages. The first one is called Kedushin, where what you do is you make a kinyan. In other words, you give the woman money, a deed, or whatever, and you bind yourself, you bind her to yourself, so to speak, and that's a very, very powerful bond, because she breaks that bond, it's adultery, halachically adultery, and therefore that bond is very, very, very powerful. It's as powerful a bond as you can have, and that's like zechira. So it's very powerful, but it's not you and yours. There's a concept in marriage called ishta kegufo, where your wife is like you. It has a lot of ramifications in terms of shlichus, there's a whole bunch of things that the Gemara mentions it, bearing testimony, all sorts of things that would be relevant. And ishta kegufo commences at the next phase, it's called nesuin. Nesuin means when you live in one house, which corresponds to yichud room for us, And basically, it means you move in together to one unit. What the house does is, the house is sort of, you both become subunits of a bigger unit, and you both become integrated. Who's more of the family, the husband or the wife? Well, the husband and wife together are a family. It's like asking, what's more vital for life, a heart or a brain? Irrelevant question. Man and woman together form a home, and that is the phase of Nisuin. The phase of Nisuin is referred to in another way in the Torah as V'ha'odom Yoda es Chavo. Chavo. Yoda is a means where the knowledge of the other really becomes equivalent to the knowledge of myself. So just like anything that I physically experience becomes self, not an outside thing that's sort of patched onto myself, but it's self, so too in the suin, the other person becomes me, and I become her, and that's Isha Kigufo. So we have two, in the relationship between two beings, we have two possibilities. One is the person is still an other, and I need to tie it down, and we can bond it very strongly, but it still remains two separate entities that are bonded more strongly, still more strongly, or it can become integrated as one unit. And that is the difference between Eris and Nisuin. That's the difference between Zechira and Yediyah. Zechira is always an outside thing. Yediyah becomes self, part of my essential self. And so these three events, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, and Sukkot, really, really relate to a very, very different progression. It's not just remembering God's miracles so that we keep the faith. It's much, much deeper than that. It's a progression from being divorced from God, from being separated, to becoming bonded. So Yetzias Mitzrayim awakened us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's being. Matan Torah made us aware of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, his essence, and which is expressed in what he wants of us. And so those two stages, we need to have Zechira. These are outside events that sort of impose themselves on us. And finally, you have Sukkot, which is Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the bias that incorporates Kol Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu together into one entity that would be parallel to V'Adam Yodas Chava. It's we became integrated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh became integrated with us. That has permanence. And that permanence is the Bekerev Shanim Chayehu. If you want it to live forever, you want it to live for years long, it's going to have to be, it's going to be Sukkot, it's a Binyan Beis HaMikdash, which makes it a permanent feature of Klal Yisrael. That's why Sukkot is referred to in the terms of Yediyah, Leman Yedu, because Yediyah is something that lasts forever. It's memory is my personal memory, and if I tell my son, it carries some weight, but you know, on and on, it keeps going there. So we have Sukkot as being an extraordinary yontif of Yediyah, and I want to point out some ramifications of it, especially 2-3 points about Sukkot that express it. First of all, there's a fascinating Goyen. The Goyen says on the Shir Shayim, on one of Shir Shayim, he says that it's the Goyen said of Shir Shayim that the two mitzvahs, there are only two mitzvahs that incorporate the entire person, that's Sukkot and Eretz Yisrael. I guess if it would have been a Chassidish, he would have said mikveh maybe, but he says Sukkot and Eretz Yisrael. Great, so what? So, I mean, you know, okay. Well, the answer is, Anytime you talk about zechira, about holding on to something, you hold on to it in one part of your body. The shoe is on your foot, the glove is on your hand. But when you're talking about something that became you, every organ is integrated with every other organ. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes across to us as self, a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes across to us as this is who we are, then it's the entire person. There's nothing that stays out of the equation. It's interesting, when we tie tefillin on, which is zachar, and that's a zikaron ben enechem, we say, as we tie it on, there's a minik to say we speak about erisin. Eretz Yisrael is the place of Beis Hamikdash, the place where we became. It's the household that includes us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Sukkah is the mitzvah that includes that. Both of these must encompass the entire person, because that's what the Mechusa the mitzvah is. Let's think about where we've come. Rosh Hashanah is a day that shakes us up. It gives us awareness, and that's the first shamati. I heard something, woke up in me. I heard something, but exactly what, and the specifics and the clarity that comes at Yom Kippur. And that's the Shemacha. It's something where all the mitzvahs and averes are detailed out for us. And we go through them one by one by one. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for us? So good, those are two things, fine. But no matter how much we've shaken up, and no matter how much we've painfully detailed all our shortcomings and needs for improvement and so on, all of it will fade unless we have something that will make it permanent. And Sukkot is meant to make it that way. This is perhaps the reason why Sukkot, the element, the feeling that pervades the Yontif is Simcha. Because, and that's why it's so critical. If I have a guest in my house, no matter how wonderful the guest is and fine, and how much I like him and enjoy him, if he's a guest, at some point it begins to become onerous. I can't keep a guest forever in my house because it's an outsider. So I'm carrying something alien to me, and the longer I carry it, the more sick and tired I get of it. People wear clothing, as nice as they are, and as much as they like it, and even if it's in good shape, at some point you won't get rid of it because it's just again and again and again and again. But God forbid, nobody wants to get rid of any of his limbs, that no matter how long he's been carrying them, because that's me. So long as our attitude towards Torah mitzvahs is a divine imposition, and yes, it's for our benefit, and it's for our good, and it's wonderful, and we get a lot of schar for it, and we need it, and all of those are very, very nice. They don't allow for permanence. When a person does something besimcha, which means I thrive in it, this is me. This is my sense of fulfillment. This is the me. Then a person is willing to keep that forever, because you don't get tired of what you really want to do. You get tired of your job, not of the golf that you're playing, unless your job is to play golf, I guess. But that's the person himself, and that's why Simcha is the content of this Yontif, because that's supposed to be the Yontif. And finally, the Mayeda Dor Seichem, I think, also pertains to this. It's because those things, when we do things that we feel duty bound to do, our children can admire it in us, but I don't think they necessarily feel the need to imitate it. I don't think they absorb it, actually. It's, this is my thing, this is the thing that I do. You know, I meaning the father. This is what the child says, yes, this is what my father does. And he could say it admiringly. But when a child feels that this is what his father is about, when he feels that it's really part and parcel of the most of the person, that has in itself a real staying power. And that's why Sukkot is, in a certain way, the cap. It's the cap for Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, Tzias Mitzrayim, Maimar HaSinai, and Binyan Beis Hamikdash, which is the capstone. It's what makes everything, eternalizes everything. It's on a personal level, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos. It's a Zman HaSimcha. It's a Zman that, if we do it right, makes Torah Mitzvahs part of our very essence, and therefore allows for it to stay forever. And if it's part of our essence, that almost guarantees it to become part of our children's essence. And we should be zeicha through Simchas HaChag, through understanding what the Yom Tov is about, to give permanence to the uplifted feelings we've had over Sukkos, and to give permanence to our values in the sense that our children continue afterwards. Good Moed and Chag Sameach.